He drifted slightly downward. The battle rooms he had practiced in always had their doors at floor level. For real battles, however, the door was set in the middle of the wall, as far from the floor as from the ceiling. Abruptly, he felt himself reorient, as he had in the shuttle. What had been down was now up and now sideways. In Nullo, there was no reason to stay oriented the way he had been in the corridor. It was impossible to tell, looking at the perfectly square doors, which way had been up, and it didn't matter. For now, Ender had found the orientation that made sense. The enemy's gate was down. The object of the game was to fall toward the enemy's home. Ender made the motions that oriented himself in his new direction. Instead of being spread out, his whole body presented to the enemy, now Ender's legs pointed toward them. He was a much smaller target. Someone saw him. He was, after all, drifting aimlessly in the open. Instinctively, he pulled his legs up under him. At that moment, he was flashed, and the legs of his suit froze in position. His arms remained unfrozen. For without a direct body hit, only the limbs that were shot froze up. It occurred to Ender that if he had not been presenting his legs to the enemy, it would have been his body they hit. He would have been immobilized. Since Bonzo had ordered him not to draw his weapon, Ender continued to drift, not moving his head or arms, as if they had been frozen too. The enemy ignored him and concentrated their fire on the soldiers who were firing at them. It was a bitter battle. Outnumbered now, Salamander Army gave ground stubbornly. The battle disintegrated into a dozen individual shootouts. Bonzo's discipline paid off now, for each salamander that froze took at least one enemy with him. No one ran or panicked. Everyone remained calm and aimed carefully. Petra was especially deadly. Condor Army noticed it and took great effort to freeze her. They froze her shooting arm first, and her stream of curses was only interrupted when they froze her completely and the helmet clamped down on her jaw. In a few minutes it was over. Salamander Army offered no more resistance. Ender noted with pleasure that Condor could only muster the minimal 5 soldiers necessary to open the gate to victory. 4 of them touched their helmets to the lighted spots at the 4 corners of Salamander's door, while the 5th passed through the force field. That ended the game. The lights came back on to their full brightness, and Anderson came out of the teacher door. "I could have drawn my gun and shot just one of them, and they would have been too few. The game would have been a draw. Without 4 men to touch the 4 corners and a 5th man to pass through the gate, Condor would have had no victory. Bonzo, you ass, I could have saved you from this defeat. Maybe even turned it to victory, since they were sitting there, easy targets. They wouldn't have known at first where the shots were coming from. I'm a good enough shot for that." But orders were orders, and Ender had promised to obey. He did get some satisfaction out of the fact that on the official tally, Salamander Army recorded not the expected 41 disabled or eliminated, but rather 40 eliminated and 1 damaged. Bonzo couldn't understand it until he consulted Anderson's book and realized who it was. "I was only damaged, Bonzo," thought Ender. "I could still shoot." He expected Bonzo to come to him and say, "Next time when it's like that, you can shoot," but Bonzo didn't say anything to him at all until the next morning after breakfast. Of course, Bonzo ate in the commander's mess, but Ender was pretty sure the odd score would cause as much stir there as it did in the soldiers' dining hall. In every other game that wasn't a draw, every member of the losing team was either eliminated, totally frozen, or disabled, which meant they had some body parts still unfrozen but were unable to shoot or inflict damage on the enemy. Salamander was the only losing army with 1 man in the damaged but active category. Ender volunteered no explanation. But the other members of Salamander Army let it be known why it had happened, and when other boys asked him why he hadn't disobeyed orders and fired, he calmly answered, "I obey orders." After breakfast, Bonzo looked for him. "The order still stands," he said, "and don't you forget it." "It will cost you, you fool. I may not be a good soldier, but I can still help, and there's no reason you shouldn't let me." Ender said nothing. An interesting side effect of the battle was that Ender emerged at the top of the soldier efficiency list. Since he hadn't fired a shot, He had a perfect record on shooting, no misses at all, and since he had never been eliminated or disabled, his percentage there was excellent. No one else came close. It made a lot of the boys laugh, and others were angry, but on the prized efficiency list, Ender was now the leader. He kept sitting out the army practice sessions and kept working hard on his own with Petra in the mornings and his friends at night. More launchies were joining them now, not on a lark, but because they could see results. They were getting better and better. Ender and Eli stayed ahead of them, though. In part, it was because Eli kept trying new things, which forced Ender to think of new tactics to cope with them. In part, it was because they kept making stupid mistakes, which suggested things to do that no self-respecting, well-trained soldier would even have tried. Many of the things they attempted turned out to be useless, but it was always fun, always exciting, and enough things worked that they knew it was helping them. Evening was the best time of day. The next two battles were easy salamander victories. Ender came in after 4 minutes and remained untouched by the defeated enemy. Ender began to realize that Condor Army, which had beaten them, was unusually good. Salamander, weak as Bonzo's grasp of strategy might be, was one of the better teams, climbing steadily in the ratings, clawing for fourth place with Rat Army. Ender turned 7. They weren't much for dates and calendars at the battle school, but Ender had found out how to bring up the date on his desk, and he noticed his birthday. The school noticed it, too. They took his measurements and issued him a new salamander uniform and a new flash suit for the battle room. He went back to the barracks with the new clothing on. It felt strange and loose, like his skin no longer fit properly. He wanted to stop at Petra's bunk and tell her about his home, about what his birthdays were usually like. Just tell her it was his birthday so she'd say something about it being a happy one. But nobody told birthdays. It was childish. It was what landsiders did, cakes and silly customs. Valentine baked him his cake on his 6th birthday. It fell, and it was terrible. Nobody knew how to cook anymore. It was the kind of crazy thing Valentine would do. Everybody teased Valentine about it, but Ender saved a little bit of it in his cupboard. Then they took out his monitor, and he left. And for all he knew, it was still there, a little piece of greasy yellow dust. Nobody talked about home, not among the soldiers. There had been no life before battle school. Nobody got letters, and nobody wrote any. Everybody pretended that they didn't care. But I do care, thought Ender. The only reason I'm here is so that a bugger won't shoot out Valentine's eye, won't blast her head open like the soldiers in the videos of the first battles with the buggers, won't split her head with a beam so hot that her brains burst the skull and spill out like rising bread dough, the way it happens in my worst nightmares and my worst nights when I wake up trembling but silent, must keep silent or they'll hear that I miss my family. I want to go home. It was better in the morning. Home was merely a dull ache in the back of his memory, a tiredness in his eyes. That morning Bonzo came in as they were dressing. Flash suits, he called. It was a battle. Ender's 4th game. The enemy was Leopard Army. It would be easy. Leopard was new, and it was always in the bottom quarter in the standings. It had been organized only 6 months ago, with Paul Slattery as its commander. Ender put on his new battle suit and got into line. Bonzo pulled him roughly out of line and made him march at the end. You didn't need to do that, Ender said silently. You could have let me stay in line. Ender watched from the corridor. Paul Slattery was young, but he was sharp. He had some new ideas. He kept his soldiers moving, darting from star to star, wall sliding to get behind and above the stolid salamanders. Ender smiled. Bonzo was hopelessly confused, and so were his men. Leopard seemed to have men in every direction. However, the battle was not as lopsided as it seemed. Ender noticed that Leopard was losing a lot of men, too. Their reckless tactics exposed them too much. What mattered, however, was that Salamander felt defeated. They had surrendered the initiative completely. Though they were still fairly evenly matched with the enemy, they huddled together like the last survivors of a massacre, as if they hoped the enemy would overlook them in the carnage. Ender slipped slowly through the gate, oriented himself so the enemy's gate was down, and drifted slowly eastward to a corner where he wouldn't be noticed. He even fired at his own legs to hold them in the kneeling position that offered him the best protection. He looked to any casual glance like another frozen soldier who had drifted helplessly out of the battle. With Salamander Army waiting abjectly for destruction, Leopard obligingly destroyed them. When Salamander finally stopped firing, Leopard had 9 boys left. They formed up and started to open the Salamander Gate.